Let's start with your name, your full name.
Chilio Alberti.
Chilio Alberti.
Berti, B-E-R-T-I.
Oh, B-E-R-T-I.
Yes.
And the first name?
Chilio.
Would you spell
C-I-L-I-O.
It?
C-I-L-I-O.
Good, very good. All right, that's clear. Have you lived here all your life in Lime Rock?
Yeah, I was born 1913, August the 3rd. And I've lived here all my life.
Where in Lime Rock did you, were you born?
Stabler's house, brick house.
In the brick house where the Stablers
are?
Right. How long did you live there?
We lived there until 1922. Went to Italy in 1922, from August until last part of September. I came back to Lime Rock again. Moved across the street where Olson's living now. Lived there for about a year, or 6 months, or 9 months, whatever. And then my father bought this place down here in 1923.
Which place?
This house down below here, with all this land.
Oh, the house that is right next to you now.
Where Art Morrison lives.
I see.
He bought that piece of land, goes up the Norton Hill Road to that, where Van Hoven used to live, and that came all the way across and then came down here. So my father owned all this.
Now, was your father born here? Or
no.
Where did he come from?
He came from Italy.
And your mother?
She came from Italy.
Which part of Italy were they from?
Northern part, Milano.
Oh, Milano.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, very nice. I've been there.
Oh, yeah.
When did he come?
Well, as far as I know, I think he came out in 1909, I think, 1910, something like that there.
Did your mother come at the same time?
No, she did not.
She came subsequently.
My father worked as a... he drove a team of horses from where Tilts live, Chester lives, team of horses from there to Ore Hill, and down here to the furnace, and then back. Twice in one day.
What kind of cargo did he carry?
Iron ore.
Right. What brought him, first of all, to the country when he came?
Well, this Parati lived in that house. She was a cousin of my father's, and I guess that's why he came.
Oh, I see. He came to the country, first of all, to America.
Came to America.
And knowing that he was going to come here.
He came to live up there. That was
immediately. Uh-huh. And your mother?
My mother came, must have been 1912, something like that there. 1911, 1912.
And what brought her to this area?
Well, because of my father.
She knew him.
They were married. You know, they came from the same town.
Oh, I see.
And then they were married here
in
New York, and then they came up here.
Any brothers or sisters?
I have two sisters.
Living in the area?
Yeah, I have one sister living in Ray Barrington and one sister living in Winston.
Oh, yes. What do you remember about growing up in the area?
Well, I remember when everything was running in Lime Rock. When the furnace was running, when the smelter was running, foundries, the carpenter shop.
Did you work in any part of that?
No, I didn't.
No. Let's go back to, as well as you can remember in terms of just being, a baby crawling around even. How far back can you go?
Oh, I can remember. I can remember I was 4 or 5 years old. Those foundations up there at Stabler's, the roofs used to come right down almost to the ground, and they had a tin roof on it. So those kids used to get up there and slide down. We'd walk up to the top and slide down on the tin.
Now that's not there now.
Well, the foundation's there.
Where is that foundation? Oh, that's in the back.
It's right in front of the house. That big rock foundation. It goes all the way around?
Oh, yes. Now, was the house the way it is now?
The house was had a porch on the front. They took the porch off. That porch is on the back, wasn't there at the time. It was just a staircase that went upstairs.
What was the house used for before you moved in?
Well, it was an office at one time.
for the iron ore company.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And were you the first residents of the house?
I don't think so. No.
Oh, there are other people.
There were four families living in that house. One in the basement, two in the center, and one upstairs.
Oh, I see. And was that during the iron ore days?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, although, as I understand it, all the houses around there, one of which we have, were kind of workers' homes.
That's right.
There. Uh-huh. Did you know the Sandys?
Sandys? Oh, yeah. Oh, of course I know.
Yeah.
And for years. I knew everybody in Lima. Every house, when we knew them, they lived there all the time, you know.
And was it largely an Italian population?
No, a lot of Polish. There were a lot of Italian, French.
French?
French.
That's interesting. Were they Canadian French or?
No, I don't think so. I guess they came from over across, I guess.
Now, coming back, when you were growing up in the area, did you go to school?
Went to school in Lima, right here.
The one-room schoolhouse?
Three rooms.
Oh, it was three rooms?
Three rooms, yeah. From one to the fourth, and the other from fifth to the eighth, and the other from first to through high school.
Uh-huh.
They had three teachers, all sisters.
Do you remember their names?
Lowe, yeah, Esther Lowe, Helen Lowe.
Uh-huh. But all Lowell sisters. Are they still around?
No, they went to Torrington finally. One of them, Helen, was in the motor vehicle department. She was the head chief at the motor vehicle department, and she died here a few years back.
Now the school you said went through the eighth grade?
No, through high school.
Oh, through high school.
That's right.
Oh, I see. So that you went to that same building. What about the road? Was it paved then or no? Was it a dirt road?
It's along here. It's almost the same, you know. But down by the school there, it turned in more, and then came out where that big stone is. The road went right by that big stone, went right around, made a curve, and then back down into there. And then where the bridge is now, the carpenter shop was there one time.
The bridge on 112.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Carpenter shop was on this side, and the wheel foundry's on the other side.
Uh-huh. Now, were there a lot of children around at that time that you played with?
Oh yeah, quite a few kids.
So, what did you do after school when school let out?
Well, I worked.
You were working.
I worked around the house. You know, did things.
Chores
and things like that. There.
What were they? What were those?
Well, getting the wood, carrying the wood in, coal in the wintertime, water. We used to go down to the pond down there to get water.
Which pond?
That little pond that's there by Davis's.
Oh, yes.
We used to go down there and get water and haul it up with a sled on a wash tub, one of these copper wash tubs we used to have. Because we always ran out of water. So the only water we got was from the eaves. Then there was a spring in back of the Fitches. And right in that triangle, well, there was a watering tub there. And the pipes came from up on the hill up there and fed that watering tub, fed the two houses. Where, I don't know what the guys' names are now, right on the corner there.
Kennedy, that's right.
Well, water came to that house, and then to the Olsons, and then to the watering tub. But the brick house didn't have any water,
uh-huh.
Only from the well, from the cistern.
So that was your drinking water,
and
water
drinking
for washing,
water. And then if you ran out, you had to go down to the pond again,
which
was all the time.
Did you have to boil it, or could you drink it the way it was?
No, we drank it the way it was.
The way it was, yeah. Uh-huh. Can you recall what kind of games kids played at that time?
Mostly ball. Played ball most of the time.
Baseball?
Or baseball. Never knew anything about football or basketball. I never saw basketball until I went to Lakeville School.
Oh, so that when you graduated the high school here?
What they did finally is got rid of the high school, so they had just the eight grades.
Oh, I see.
Because there weren't enough kids in the eighth grades. That there may have been, from first to the fourth, there may have been about 40 kids, each in different grades. And then in the other part, there'd be 25, 30 kids from the fifth through the eighth. And then finally, they got just one teacher, so she took care of the eighth grades. And then finally, they got rid of the seventh and eighth grade, and that's when I went to Lightville School.
Was that, they got rid of the Lowells?
The Lowells finally left.
Do you remember the name of the teacher who replaced them?
One was Mrs. Boober, and the other...
Mrs. Boober?
Boober.
B-U-B-E-R.
Yeah. And the other, I can't think of the other one's name.
Do you know what happened to them?
Well, they finally moved out. They went to different schools. They taught, one taught in Ore Hill for a while, and then she left there and went somewhere in New York State. And the other one went back to Maine again. But beginning that back to the smelter, I remember when they used to fire that up, when they used to melt the iron and let it run, that flat part that's in front of the furnace down there now, well, they used to tap that. And then they had ditches that the iron used to run out, the hot iron used to run out and run down those ditches. And then they'd let that cool overnight, and then they'd break it up the next day and take it down to the foundry.
Now, the furnace you're talking about is the one where the blocks are now.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. So they, let me get that process clear. They had ditches.
They had that whole area, that whole flat area there.
Yes.
There was ditches in there. And when they let all the iron, hot iron out, it'd run down these ditches. And then the next day, they'd break it up.
In other words,
it was cast iron when it got cooled up. They put it on a wagon and bring it down to the foundry.
Uh-huh. Now, and the foundry prepared it for what? What use?
They made car wheels.
Made car wheels?
Freight trains or trains.
Uh-huh. Right. Do you remember what year they went out of business?
In 1926, the lower foundry burnt down. They stopped making car wheels just before, 1924, I guess. Because then they started to make grates in that foundry. And my father worked there. My father was a molder there. He made car wheels, and then he made the grates until it closed down. And that was 1920. It was 1926, I think, it closed down.
Right. Uh-huh. All right, so you went through school there. What did they teach there? Just the three R's or more than that?
Mostly, yeah. That's most of what we had, yeah.
Boys and girls
Boys
together?
Boys and girls, oh yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. What'd they do for discipline? How'd they keep you in mind?
They slapped you aside the head if you weren't good, that's all. They used to have this one teacher, I forgot her name. She came as a one room school teacher. She had a ruler 18 inches long with it was about 3/8 of an inch thick with a steel edge on the front of it. And if you weren't good, she'd crack you over the knuckles with that, and she'd cut you too.
Yes, that's so.
Yeah, she'd pick you up by the hair of the head, let out of the seat like that. She was about 6 feet tall, and she weighed probably 200 pounds. Strong.
Did your parents object?
No. Wrong.
They thought that was...
That was great. That was great.
Keep away.
Oh, yeah.
You'd learn.
In fact, the teacher told my... my father told the teacher that if my boy is bad, you lick him.
That was the way...
Whatever, if you did something, that was it.
What did you study in high school when you moved over?
I didn't go to high school. I went through the eighth grade and I quit.
So it was the seventh and eighth grade then.
Yeah.
That was at Lakeville.
Went to Lakeville.
That moved over there, right? What happened when you were that age level, the seventh or eighth age level, where you Did you get a chance to play with other?
No, after my father bought this place here, there was always work to be done there because my father was working, and I took care of the I took care of the land.
So, what skills did you learn?
Well, I went to be I was learning to be a plumber, and I worked with that during the summer when I was going to school, and then after I got out of school, I worked there for about a year and a half, and then it slowed right down. I was in the 30s. There was no work. So then I started mowing lawns down here in Lima. And I mowed lawns for about 3 years, I guess. Two or 3 years. And then I went to work for General Gibbs.
Who was he?
Where Mrs. Newbold is, Mrs. Blagden. I went to work up there in 1932, and I worked there 50 years.
50?
50 years.
Good for you.
I finally, after 50 years, I figured it was time to
retire.
Yeah. Well, I retired from there, but I'm still working.
So the Depression hit up here as well.
During the Depression, you could buy any house in Lima for $500. Any house, no matter which one to buy.
Now, were they company houses then, or they were company houses? So, the company was out of business, but they still.
Well, Alfred B. Stone bought all the land for $25,000 from all over. Alfred B. Stone. He was real estate.
Oh, real estate.
Well, he was in a company with somebody else, but they ran under that name.
I see.
And then with the iron alone, he made another $25,000.
With the iron?
Selling the iron.
Oh, just selling the iron. Yeah. That was left
over. That down by the Limerick Station. If you've heard the Limerick Station.
Yeah, I've heard about it. Now, where was that exactly?
As you turn by the regional, you towards West Cornwall.
Oh, yes.
The second house in, that was the railroad station.
I've seen the railroad tracks going up
there. It was across the street, though.
Uh-huh.
And Andy Arnott bought it, or Andy Arnott's used to have the garage where the Route 112 and 7 is now. Andy Arnott owned that garage.
Arnott,
yeah.
A-R-N-O-T, yeah.
And they bought the station, and I helped move it from where it was to the present site.
Where is it now?
It's right across the street from where the old station used to be.
Oh, you can actually see the station there.
Oh, yeah, it's a second house on the right as you're going down that road there.
Now I've been up there several times. I'm gonna have a better look next time I go. Yeah. What was Lime Rock like when you were, just a kid?
It was a booming town.
What did it have?
We had a store, which was right next to the lodge where the lodge is now. Well, that next building there with the steps going up both sides.
Oh, yes.
That was the store.
Well, a general store.
A general store. They sold everything there. You could buy material, you could buy shoes, you could buy food, you could buy whatever. And the post office is in there too.
And when did that go out?
In the 30s, or early 30s.
In the 30s.
Yeah.
And there's never been anything since?
Not there. Then they turned it into apartments.
Uh-huh. Was there a store any other place?
Yeah, up on the hill where that antique shop is.
Across the way, you mean, from?
No, up the hill. Go up the hill.
Yeah.
Right next to Dorset.
Oh, yes. That where was, that antique, I remember,
Philo Lyons built that.
Who did?
Philo Lyons.
L-Y-O-N-S. Is he still around?
No. His daughter lives in Mary Barrington. She married I can't think of his name. Bill something. It'll come to me eventually.
Okay.
And she's still living in Barrington.
Across the street from, or no, on the same side of the street as the antique place that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
there are several houses there. Now, I was told one of them was a movie house at one time.
The first house, as you go up the hill, first house on the left, that used to be a movie theater.
The one that's set back in?
Yeah, it's a brown shingle, brown.
Right.
It has a portico.
Is that a one-room place, or is it a...
It wasn't then. The upstairs is one room, yeah, because that was where the theater was.
Oh, the theater. What was below it?
I don't know.
Right.
I remember just
now, is there a little house... last night, I met some people, and they told me they bought a place, a one-room place. Is there a house just below that, a small house?
Well, next to that is where the Olsons lived. They sold it to somebody. I don't know who bought it now, but I don't know of any. There's that little place right next to the antique shop. That's a small one room thing, I think.
Oh, that must be the one.
Because that was built.
What was that?
Well, that was built as a shop at one time.
Oh, it was a shop.
And some woman built a shop, and she had it there. And then they went out of business, and they finally turned it into a house.
There's no water there.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Then as you go up on the left-hand side, you come to this open space where there is this house with that big porch that people fixed up several years ago.
Oh, you mean the big house with the copper cupola?
Yeah. What was that?
That was an N.A. McNeil Insurance Company. They had an office in Lakeville.
Oh, that's the McNeil.
That was part of the N.A. McNeil a long time ago.
Even when you were a
child? Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Now, and did you go to the movies when I was there?
Yeah, once in a while.
What did you see? Can you remember what kind of pictures they showed?
Charlie Chaplin, I remember. Uh-huh. And Western things.
Yeah.
I didn't go that much, but I did go a few times.
You remember what it cost to go?
Yeah, something like 15 cents.
As much as that, because when I come from Davenport, Iowa, we on a Saturday afternoon saw three Westerns for a nickel.
but they only had movies there once a week.
Oh, once a week.
That's just once a week.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's 15 cents. Yeah. Same as haircuts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
15 cents.
Right.
10, 15 cents. In fact, where Kennedy's used to live, there was a barber there.
Where
his name
Kennedy's?
Was Dunn.
What was the name?
Jack Dunn.
Dunn.
Yeah.
D-U-N-N.
And
so that was a barber shop.
He had a barber shop there, yeah.
And was it a private home that he had?
Sure.
Then he
it was in his home. He had a barber shop.
Barber shop.
And I think it was 10 cents or something like that there.
Right.
And then where Sheldon Glass is, that used to be the barber shop.
You mean you had two barber shops in Lima?
Yeah. They had, and down here they had three barbers. And they were busy all the time.
Wow. So must have been a good-sized community.
Well, we had a lot of people. Well, there were people everywhere. They had across the river, where Staber lives there, you know, right across
sure.
there. It belonged to Rufus King, bought the whole mess. But in back there was a lot of shanties that people used to have. They'd build their own. You know, a man would come here and another man would come. They said, "Well, we'll build a shack." So they build a shack. They live in.
And was that during the iron ore business?
That's right.
Yeah, they generally worked in the.
Oh, they worked in the foundry.
And all these shacks are gone now.
Oh yeah. They fell down. You know, finally.
Yeah.
They rotted down.
Where did those people come from?
Well, same. They were Polish. And they were Italian. They were French. And at night, you'd sit up there at the brick house, and you'd hear music from everywhere. The people would be playing a guitar, mandolin, accordion, singing and hollering and shouting.
All different languages.
All over the place. All over.
That's wonderful.
You know, and the Lamarck was really a booming town at one time.
I wonder why we don't do singing today like the people did then.
I tell you, those people, Those people could really sing. I tell you, they were good singers, you know, and they were just amateurs.
They ever run any dances or?
Oh, dance! I always have dances, kitchen dances.
Kitchen dances.
Yeah.
What's a kitchen dance?
Well, everybody's kitchen. They just push the table away and they dance in the kitchen. The guy with the mandolin or guitar or ukulele or whatever, an accordion, they'd come in there and play, and they got nothing for it. They just played for the fun of it. Everybody danced and they sang and drank and so on and so forth.
Did they have any other kinds of activities? Did they do anything else?
This was all self-contained people. They did their own thing. You know, they say tonight, come on over to the house. We'll have something. You know, or somebody would say, well, come down to my house. We'll have something. Even down where you live.
Was Sandy there? He was there already.
Well, he was there for years and years. He had two daughters and a son.
I met the son. The son came
did you
over
really?
To visit.
Mom. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. His name was Dominic. He calls himself John.
Oh, yeah. What did Sandri do?
He worked in the foundry. He did work in the foundry. And outside of that there, he used to make salami, different families around. He'd, like in the fall, winter time, you know. He'd come to my father's house, or he'd go to somebody else's house, or whatever.
And sell salami?
No, he used to make it right there.
Oh, make it right there. Make it for people.
Yeah.
Must have been quite a skill.
Oh, yeah.
How long did he live?
I can't remember when he moved out.
He moved from there?
Yeah, he moved there and went down to his son's house down in near Simsbury, I think. Avon, Simsbury, in that section.
I think it's Simsbury.
Yeah. He lived there for a while. I think he must have lived there 4 or 5 years, I guess, when he finally died.
You know whom he sold it to when he sold it? Mrs. Fish didn't buy it from him, did she? She had it when we bought it.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. I think somebody else. I think somebody else had it. That house where Worthington lives now, Mr. Shaw lived there.
Right.
And of course, the house burnt down. And in 1955 when the flood. I know they were still here then because I was living where the Clarks live now.
Oh yes, Mrs. Clark.
Yeah, I inherited that house.
Oh yes.
And so I went there to live because we had a legal problem. So I figured, well, I'll go down there to live and left this place empty. For 8 years we lived there. In 1955, the day of the flood, I heard Mr. Shaw call out, Mr. Sandry, you all right? Mr. Sandry, well, they heard anything, I don't know. But I woke up then and looked out the window and I see none but, well, this is 4 o'clock in the morning. I see none but water all over the place. And I said, I can't believe that. So,
how high did it come in?
Well, it finally came right up to the steps of Mrs. Clark's house, within about 2 inches of the floor. The basement, of course, was full of water.
That's right, keep going.
12 o'clock at night, I went down in the basement. I didn't have any water at all. From after 12 o'clock until 4 o'clock in the morning, we had four feet of water in the cellar. So we went down there and turned the power off. Of course, the meter got underwater anyway. And at Shaw's, the meter was underwater, and he had lights.
And he had lights?
He had lights.
And the meter was
underwater. And the meter was underwater. The only reason why he woke up was because the water was up, even to the top of the mattress. And he was getting wet, so he was wondering why he was getting wet. And he stepped out in the water.
He was an artist.
Yeah, he was an artist, yeah. I'll show you a picture that he drew of my brother.
I saw one in Marcello's house.
Oh, I see.
How long did it take for the flood to recede?
By 12 o'clock, the water was all gone.
As fast as that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it stopped raining. It had been raining for 3, 4, 5 days.
Right? When did his house burn down?
Well, it was after the flood, so it was 55, about probably 1960, something like that there.
When the iron ore moved out, a lot of people moved away from here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was ghost town.
There wasn't anything to do. Yeah. Now, I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, I heard that a lot of artists moved in here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. That's when all the artists came into Nymark. Well, they bought these houses cheap, you know. And they just flocked in here.
Mm-hmm. What happened to them?
They sold the house.
They sold and moved out.
Sold and moved out. Uh-huh. They made a few bucks and just moved out.
Mm-hmm. Were there well-known artists?
Well, tell you the truth, I didn't know any of them. Uh-huh. They, you know, they would come today and go tomorrow. Oh. So,
when was this approximately, when you say?
Well, it was late 29, 30, 31, 32.
You know, something occurred to me. Coming back to these workers who had the shanties and who worked in the iron ore and so on, were they organized then? Were there unions? Or?
Oh, no, no.
No unions.
No, they came. I don't know how a lot of these people came in here, but they a lot of them came from Bristol, the Polish people. They moved out of Bristol and came up here. And usually the husband would come, and he would work for a while, and then finally he'd find a house and bring his family up here.
Do you remember what they got in wages?
Well, my father said he used to get about $11 a week.
How many hours? Are there set hours?
14, 15, 16 hours a day.
$11 a week.
Yeah.
Of course, things were cheaper now,
yeah.
Even so. Would that be in the 20s when they got that? Or?
Oh, no, that was before that.
Oh, that was before that,
that was
yeah.
Before that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was 1914, 15, 16, something like that there.
And there was no bitching on the part of the workers?
Not really, no.
They just took what they could get?
That's right. That's right. And they all seemed to work together.
And they got along on that money?
Oh, yeah.
And in the 20s, you say it went up.
Oh, yeah. Well, the wages started to go up all over anyway. You know.
But they were never organized, never into unions. That's interesting. Because in some parts of the country, there were already unions.
They weren't anything like that around here.
Did they have, like, benefit organizations?
Nothing.
What happened when a guy died? Where did he get the money to get buried? Everybody pitch in?
It was cheap then.
It was cheaper. By God, today, it costs.
You're not telling me anything. I know. You know, like, of course, my father, as I say, worked in the wheel foundry down there. And my father was a big man. So this man, well, several men working together, they used to bet that if they could pick up one of these car wheels, it weighed 600 pounds. And he says, your father would pick one of those car wheels right up.
Really?
Yeah, 600 pounds.
What happened, let's say if the man died, what happened to his family? How did they get along?
They just went back to where their other relatives were, I guess. Or they just stayed here and just struggled to get along.
Did the women work anyplace?
Where the house that Davis's living now, that house was closer to the road. And he bought it and he moved it back.
Oh, Davis moved it back?
Yeah. Well, the people that lived in there were the name Carly.
They had six. What was their name?
Carly.
Carly.
And they had six children. Three boys and three girls. And the husband died. And she lived there, and she did work for the Richardsons or, you know, whatever.
Barons. Housework.
Housework. And they lived there for quite a while. And she finally moved to Canaan. Up there she did the same thing as housework. She brought up all their six kids.
Some of them still in the area?
Well, I think there's one girl living in Canaan. One went to California, and the three boys died. And I don't know where the other girl is. There's another girl in there somewhere. I don't know where she is.
Really struck by the fact that these people worked such long hours, and
yet
they didn't gripe or.
That was the only thing you could do. So you just
accepted it.
You just stayed there and worked. That's all.
Well, now were there people who were better off in the area? Were there, apart from the Richardsons or the owners, or, you know, with the what we today would call middle class people, like.
Well, there may have been. The families all worked, and that's all they ever did is work. And in the night, they worked in their gardens and things. They always had a garden, you know. So they always
worked in the garden. So they'd always have some food.
So they got along that way there. In fact, up there at Langdon's, that field in the front there, at least, that used to be gardens that different people used to have. They'd, plow up a piece of land, plant their stuff.
Well, who did the gardening, though?
The wives and the man.
Man, when he came home, even after 14, 15 hours,
whenever Saturdays, Sundays, they didn't work on Saturday. Well, I guess they worked on Saturday, but not on Sunday.
Not on Sunday.
They did most of it. They'd plant potatoes, corn, whatever, and get ready for the winter.
Was Lime Rock different than, let's say, Salisbury, Lakeville, or Sharon? Was a different kind of community?
Well, there were mostly foreigners here. They were probably citizens, but they were all foreigners.
They just came in
here. I know my father at one time the foundry shut down in 1919. My father went to Torrington to work. He went down there. September, maybe before, and he used to stay down there through the week, back weekends. And then finally, in 1919, we moved down there. My mother and sisters and I. My youngest sister was born December the 13th, 1919. So we moved to Torrington just before Christmas. And we got on the train in Salisbury and went through Twin Lakes, Canaan, Norfolk, Winsted, and then changed trains there to go to Torrington. And when we got to Winsted, my father sent a telegram because they were moving the furniture from the brick house to Salisbury to put on the train. Well, they got up somewhere along the way, and the sleigh tipped over, and they lost all the furniture. So they put all the furniture back on the train, brought it back to Lime Rock. And so my father, of course, was supposed to be down there that night. Well, he didn't get there because he had to bring the furniture back. And I guess he came the next day. And we stayed down there until school was out, the end of June, or the middle of June, and we moved back up here again. And then he went to work in the golf up here at the golf course, like in Hotchkiss School. He was the foreman up there when they built the golf course in Hotchkiss. And then he worked on the road, he did odd jobs. He worked for DeMichael, he worked for different contractors.
Did you ever get into Lakeville or Salisbury often? Or
not that much.
No.
The only time we went to Lakeville was when we, as kids, used to go to the movies, or we'd go to get a haircut, or we'd go to buy something,
Swimming in a lake?
No. At least she used to swim in the river.
Or the Santa Fe.
Yeah.
Now, did the people in Lakeville and Sharon, did they also work in the
Well, market? They, they worked in the knife shop. Yes, some of them might. I didn't know.
They worked in the what?
In the knife shop up there, the Holly Knife Shop.
Oh, yes.
Where the cafe is there. Not the cafe. The
yeah, there is a cafe.
Whatever that
place
is
there.
I don't know.
They were different kinds of people.
I never knew much about
them.
Because we Lime Rock people stuck to Lime Rock. We didn't. The only time we'd go to Lakeville, as I say, we'd go for the haircut or. There were three barbers in Lakeville. Three different barber shops. And each shop had three barbers. The one up on the hill had three barbers. The one down below, Judd, he had three barbers. And then finally another one started up. He was by himself.
Was there any other kind of business in Lime Rock other than the iron ore? Mm-hmm. Nothing else.
Well, they had, at first, they had, used to have the grist mill that was part of the carpenter shop. It was on this side of the river. They had a grist mill. They used to grind corn and wheat and so on and so forth. But that faded out.
Was there a lot of farming?
Well, everybody had farm. You know.
Well, they had their own garden farms.
Yeah, sure.
But were there big dairy farms more than today?
Well, not any bigger than they. Well, the Belchers had the farm.
Yeah, they were there.
Down there. And then the Goodwin, Hezekiah Goodwin, his father had a farm. Lorch's had a farm. And, then they had the Wilkinsons up on the hill, Britton Hill. They had a farm up there. You know, everybody had. And then there was another over on Sugar Hill. There was a farm over there. Two or three farms over in there. But whatever they raised cows. You know, whatever. Milk. Used to sell milk. Well, then they had the Borden's milk factory at the Lime Rock, or the Lime Rock station, below the Lime Rock station. And all the milk was brought into there from around here. And then they had another place in Sharon Station, Borden's again, and Millerton, Sheffield, Canaan. Borden's had everything.
And now, when you were growing up here, could you buy your milk from the farmer, or you had to get it from
Borden? Well, we had our own cow.
Oh, you had your own cow.
Yeah. We were selling milk for 10 cents a quart. We finally got a letter from the state and said, you can't sell the milk for 10 cents a quart.
Why is that?
Well, this is law. You got to sell it for 12 cents or 14 cents, whatever.
They told you what price you had to sell?
That's right. That's right. Said we were selling, we were underselling.
Underselling.
Yeah. But we were only selling about 10 quarts of milk, but we were still underselling.
That's interesting.
Well, I built this house in 1936. My father sold the place down there, I think, in 1939. And he moved in with us, my wife and I. We had once our son. And then in 1940, they built the house up there. There's another house in back here. They built that house. And they lived there for quite a while.
Do you remember Lime Rock as a place you enjoyed growing up in? Or do you remember it otherwise?
Well,
was it hard or was it?
It was, I always had to work. The other kids, of course, could play, but I couldn't because I had too much work to do. In the summertime, I could hear the kids playing ball or whatever down to school. And I'd be working up there in the fields, hoeing the potatoes and picking the bugs off the potatoes and hoeing the corn and, you know, so on and so forth.
Well, how come they didn't work?
Well, because they didn't have to.
Uh-huh.
Or unless they did it other times, I don't know.
Yeah. What about a comparison with today? Was it more fun then than it is today? What is the difference up here today, in your opinion?
Well, today, there's nothing doing around here. You get in the car and you go somewhere. You know, whatever. We had relatives in Torrington, so we used to go to Torrington a lot. My daughter lives in Torrington, so I go down there.
How many children?
I have two children, a son and a daughter.
They, neither one lives here.
And my son graduated from high school, from the regional. He went to West Point, went through West Point, and he went to service, served 20 years in service, and he's out. Now he's worked for General Telephone, and he lived in Fairfield. And then he moved from there and went to Needham, Mass. Still worked for General Telephone.
Okay.
He graduated in 1960, or and they got out in 1980.
Okay.
My daughter moved to Torrington. She married in Torrington, so she's still there. So I have two grandchildren.
I guess most of the young people didn't stay here. There wasn't anything to do.
Nothing to do, no.
Yeah.
None of the kids that I went to school with are around here at all.
Like the Johnson children, two are away. One is still here.
Yeah. Something. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's doing very well.
Yeah.
He's the only one left.
But none of the kids stayed around here. The minute they got old enough to go somewhere, they just left.
Let me just